Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Let me look at you and see if you look well rested. Anybody with kids, you probably didn't get an extra hour, right? Because your kids are like, they didn't set their clock back. It takes them a little while to get into it. I know our dogs. Well, our dogs are so lazy; they'll sleep through anything anymore, I think. But praise the Lord, I got an extra hour of sleep. I don't know about you, but I did, and I'm very appreciative of it. Because yesterday we had our fall festival; it was fabulous. It was so fun. We did something a little bit different this year. We did it during the day because it was on a Saturday, and so we were from 4 to 7. But we actually went from 4 to about 7:30 till it just got really dark. And I don't know, let's just ask everybody here, do you like it? Now next year, Halloween is on a Monday, so we'll obviously have it at night, but I like it better at night. How about you guys? You like it better at night? No comment?
1 hour later.
Yeah, because all the kids were coming out, and we gave tons of candy away. Thank everybody that we got all the candy that we needed. We had over 500 pounds of candy. Isn't that amazing? And then we have a family in our church that every year, don't be nervous, I'm not going to say who it is because it's anonymous. Say that word with me, anonymous. It just sounds mysterious, doesn't it? Anyway, we have an anonymous family that every year they give all the hot dogs, all the hamburgers, all the chips, all the pretzels, they donate that. Isn't that a blessing? Such a blessing. And you know, every year we get people to try to pay for it, and every year we say, nope, it's already been paid for. Somebody got it all for you. And so it's just fun to just give things away for free and be a blessing. Yeah. And see all the little kids all dressed up, and the big kids all dressed up. We had some big kids dressed up too. How many saw Pastor Chris in his Godzilla outfit? That was pretty good. And I love to see all the kids dressed up. I saw Matthew last night. He was a pirate. And I said, what do you say? And his daddy said, what do you say when you want to scare people? And he's like, arr. He's so cute. So all the kids were just so cute, and it's so fun. And looking forward to next year. It's just going to be great. All right, who's ready to talk about some guardrails? Woohoo! Now listen, I want a lively bunch today. You got an extra hour of sleep? I want some liveliness in this first service. That's what I want. All right? Let's all try it. Let me hear a big amen.
Amen.
Woo, I feel better already. All right, here we go. We're talking about guardrails, and this is our third week talking about it. It's been so good. I've had so many texts and so many people just emailing me and saying, man, this message has really helped me. And I said this from the very beginning. All messages are good when they've got the Word of God in them. All that's good because the Word of God's always good. But, you know, there's just certain messages. Boy, if you grab a hold of it, it will help you and protect you from destruction that the enemy has planned for you. How many want to just bypass all the destruction the enemy has planned for you, right? How many wish you would have bypassed some of it in your past? We could all raise our hand to that. And so if we will put healthy boundaries, healthy guardrails in our life, it will protect us. And the very first session we talked about, the guardrails will protect and direct you. And so when we look at the word, let's remind everybody what a guardrail is. It's a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. And so we've learned these last few weeks that a guardrail is not put where it's most dangerous. A guardrail is put ahead of where the danger is to protect you from falling into that ditch, going off that cliff, having all that danger coming. Now, did you guys get the picture I asked? Somebody sent me this picture and said I could use it for my message. And this is so good. Look at this. Anybody see this on Facebook? It was somebody sent it to me. And the guy says, I hate being confined by this fence. I'm jumping over it. And the guy says, wait, it's not a fence. It's a guardrail. And that's exactly what the principles in God's word are. It's not a fence to keep you in. It's a guardrail to keep you from going over the cliff, right? And so we've got these guardrails. The first week we said that we talked about living intentionally and setting up personal standards of conduct. Say personal.
Personal.
So my standard is not going to be your standard, and your standard is not going to be my standard. It's a personal thing. We want to obey the word, but you know, each of us are at different places. How many figured that out? And one thing about the body of Christ that can really be annoying, look at your neighbor and say, annoying. Look, say it like you're annoyed. Annoying. One thing about the body of Christ that can be so annoying is that I want your standards to be my standards, and when your standards are not my standards, I judge you and think less of you. Anybody ever met anybody like that? How many agree it was annoying? Right? Because we're all in different places with our walk with God, and we all, you know, we can't expect people that just came into the family of God, just got born again. They're little baby Christians, and we're wanting them to act like they've been in the church for 20 years. And, you know, that just doesn't happen. We got to grow. And if we don't give people an opportunity to grow, if we're so hard on them while they're growing, they're just going to give up and say, you know what, you guys are a bunch of judgmental hypocrites. I'm out of here. Isn't that the truth? You got to give people a chance to grow. And you know, and the thing about it is that that's why it's a personal standard. We all know what the word says, and we all want to do what the word says. But when somebody is struggling in an area, let's not be so harsh on them. Let's try to lift them up and help them get where they need to be, right? Doesn't that sound a whole lot better? And so it's a personal standard of conduct that we intentionally place in our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15, this has been like our core scripture these last couple weeks. It says this. Remember, you can follow along on your Bible app. I put some notes on there so you can take it home with you and follow along. But it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many want the will of God in your life? It's better. If you don't know it's better, you just don't know what the will of God is. The will of God's always better. And so it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That means to watch where you're walking. Don't just walk into anything and not know where you're going. We need to watch where we're walking. I've told you the last couple weeks, just as a funny reminder, if you come to my house and you go in my backyard, you better walk circumspectly. Right? And if you don't know me, I'll tell you why. It's because I have four beasts. Four beasts, and if you don't watch where you're walking, you might get some poo on your shoe, and that's going to be a mess. But, you know, the same thing is true in the world. If we don't watch where we're walking, we might find ourselves in just a big mess, and so we got to watch where we're walking. And so that's what we talked about our first week, and then last week, oh, we hit home, didn't we? We talked about friendships. Oh, boy, did I get some text messages. Wow. Talked about friendships, and we said it's so important that you realize that the what makes friendship so great is also what makes friendship so dangerous. Because when we're around our friends, when we're around people that we care about, that we laugh with and we talk with, we let our guard down. And that's a good thing, and that's okay. But if the people around you are not people that you want to be like, you better be careful. Somebody put on, my friend sent me this morning, and they said, it was a quote by Keith Moore, and he said, you better limit the time you spend around people by how much you want to be like them. Isn't that good? And so, you know, we've all heard the cliches, your parents told you, the teachers told you, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. But that's the truth. And we looked in the Bible and we talked to just, you know, with us, how many times we look back of things where we crossed over that guardrail, we wound up in just off the ledge, off the cliff, and we found ourselves, and if you go back, you say, hey, when's the first time you skipped school? I had a friend. When's the first time you smoked pot? I had a friend. When's the first time you drank? I had a friend. When's the first time you shot up heroin when you swore you never would? I had a friend. It's always a friend. It's always a friend. It's always somebody that's there that's influencing you. And when there's times when we say, man, I would never do that. I would never do that. You hang around that long enough, it's going to be more comfortable to you. You're going to be more accepting to it. The people that you're hanging around are doing it. Next thing you know, you will be doing it. That's just how life is. That's how life is. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So the thing about it is that you can have good character, But if you hang around bad company long enough, it rubs off. And then we talked to our scripture last week, and it's such a good one. Man, we need to get this. We need to tattoo it on us. Everybody's got tattoos. This would be a good one for you. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. That's a promise. You hang out with wise people, God promises you you'll be wise. But, say but. It's always those buts that get you. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what I love about this verse? You don't even have to be a fool, but if you hang out with fools, you're going to be destroyed. Isn't that good? And so when you say, like, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to participate. I'm going to hang out, but I'm not going to do it. You're fooling yourself, because the Bible says when you hang out with fools, you don't have to be a fool. When you hang out with fools, you're going to be destroyed. And how many stories have we read where somebody's just in the wrong place, wrong time, wrong people, and their life is changed forever? God's trying to help you from that. He's saying, listen, you hang out with fools, your destruction is coming for you. And so we all need to take a look around. Not now. Not now. Don't look around now, because they might be here. We all need to take a look around at the people we're hanging out with and ask ourselves, are you a fool? And here's what a fool, you say, well, what makes someone a fool? A fool is someone who has no concern for tomorrow. A fool is someone that doesn't think every action they have is connected. They think it's only this one time, and that's not going to affect anything else. How many have realized that doesn't work? Everything we do is connected. Everything we do adds up our life. Everything we do has consequences. But a fool's like, it's only this one time. It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to know. I'll never do it again. It's just once. It's just once. That's foolish thinking. And the Bible says, listen, if you hang out with people like that, destruction is coming. I don't know about you, but I want to avoid that. I want to avoid that at all costs. And so in this last section of the series, we're going to talk about two biggies. Ready? Two biggies. If you think back, let's just all think back to ourselves. We don't need to share our laundry. Think back to ourselves of the biggest regrets we have in our life. Most of us in here, it would involve one of two things. One of two things. The biggest regrets we have, it would involve one of two things. Sex and money. Whenever anybody calls, Pastor Peggy, I'm in big trouble. I know. Either sex or money or both are involved. So I just get ready. And that's just the truth. You know, you look at the politicians. What gets them in the biggest trouble? Taking bribes or an intern, right? Isn't that the truth? You know, I mean, it's just even people when And I'm not talking bad about them, but even when ministers fall, what usually is it? The secretary or the offering? That's just the truth.
Come on.
I don't have a secretary, just FYI. I don't have one. I really don't, so. But the thing is, it's always sex and money, because those, you know, the Bible talks a lot about things that can be dangerous in our lives, but the Bible talks most about how sex and money can really get us into trouble. And so let's talk about that. You guys ready? Aren't you glad you came to church today? I planned this so you'd have an extra hour of sleep so you'd be ready for this big message, you know? It takes a lot to talk about sex and money at church, but we need to. We need to. So I wanted you guys wide awake, ready to go, sex and money. Say it with me, sex and money. Say it like they say it on, like, Entertainment Tonight. Sex and money, right? Okay, here we go. You know, in any area of life, there's desire, and that's normal and that's natural, that we have desires in our life. That's okay. But it's important that we have guardrails, because those desires can very quickly and very easily get out of control. And here, grab a hold of this. When a desire is out of control, it becomes a lust. Isn't that good? When a desire is out of control, it becomes a lust. When something becomes a lust, it becomes trouble. Big trouble. And so ever since Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, ever since that out of control, they wanted to know. They wanted to have what was not theirs to have, what God had instructed them. Listen, you can have anything you want, but this, you need to stay away from this. So it's just human nature. I mean, how many have little kids? As soon as you say, don't touch that, it's like that's all they think about. I just want to touch it. I just want to know what it feels like to touch it. I really want to touch it. Why can't I touch it? Is anybody looking if I do touch it? You know? I mean, it's just in us. And so we've got to be sure that we've got guardrails set up, because when those desires come, we don't want them to become out of control. What, you know, when we look about, when you trace back addiction, what happens? It's desires that start being fed. They get fed more and more. They get fed by more and more dangerous things. Next thing you know, you have something that's controlling your life, and it's ruining your life. And that can be true with pornography, alcohol, drugs, shopping, spending money, sports, all this kind of stuff. Anything that is too much that begins to rule your life is dangerous. It's dangerous. And so we got to have these guardrails set up. And the Bible has a lot to say about our desires, especially when they get out of control and they become lust. But the Bible talks most when it comes to lust is about sex and money. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. 1 Peter 2:11 says this. Dearly beloved. Sounds like a nice letter, right? Dearly beloved. He says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. A lust will tear you up from the inside out. It wars against your soul. And you know what your soul is? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so when we have fleshly lust, when we have a desire that's gone too far, it wages war in our life. And if we don't get a grip, it's going to win. And next verse is Romans 13:14 says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He's saying, listen, put on the Lord. Get some help from Jesus. Somebody say, help from Jesus. We need help from Jesus. And so Paul's telling us, he's saying, listen, abstain from fleshly lust. What is that? That's a desire that's gone too far. Don't make provision for the flesh. Paul's telling us, build a guardrail in your life. Because what happens with a guardrail? And we kind of used our pews as an illustration. If this is my guardrail, if I, you know, just rub up against this, I'm going to have a little damage, but it's not going to be too much. And so I got that guardrail. I got that standard that says, whoop, better get back on track. Better be careful. You're close to danger here. Be careful. And then it pushes me back on track a little bit. But if I blow past through this, you're going to find me on the news. And nobody wants to be on the news, right? No pastor wants to be on the news, because why are pastors usually on the news? Something bad's happened. Sex and money, right? And so we got to be careful. God's trying to protect us. And so these two danger zones, there's when it comes to money, let's talk about money first. We'll do probably the hard one. Well, they're both hard, but we'll do money first. When it comes to that, there's two dangerous ditches on either side of the road where money is concerned. Now listen to me here. On one side, we have the ditch of consumption. It's all about now. What's consumption mean? It means to just use it all up. And so it's all about now. On one side, we have the ditch of consumption. It's all about now. And on the other side, we have the ditch of hoarding. And it's all about then. And so the thing is, but both ditches are self-centered. Both are consumed by greed. And both of them cause us to live like there's no God. And so I can be caught in both sides. I can be just an extreme consumer, and where I just take everything now. Now, 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 now. Or I can be on the other side of the ditch where I'm hoarding everything. I'm not enjoying my life. I'm not a generous soul. I'm just taking everything because I'm always worried about tomorrow. I'm always worried about then. But both sides are dangerous. How many know God's got balance for you? God's got balance for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then it goes on to say, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, here's what mammon is. Now, if you've gone through the Blessed Life teaching, most of us in here probably have, and some of us haven't, that's okay. But mammon is it's money. It's a love of money. It's where money is the most important thing in your life. How many know God doesn't mind if you have money? God doesn't mind if you have nice things. He wants you to have nice things. The Bible says that God wants to give you the desires of your heart. How many got some desires? But then religion will try to tell you and make you feel guilty if you have desires for nice things, won't it? Like, oh, you shouldn't have that. There's poor people. There's poor people, buddy, man. You shouldn't have that. But even Jesus said, the poor will be with you always. There's always going to be poor people. But here's something we got to wrap our head around when it comes to just religion, religious thinking about money. There's enough money. There's enough money. The enemy will always try to make you think there's not enough for you to live well and take care of the poor. You know, I love animals. Love them. And I used to feel kind of guilty about it because I think I almost like them more than people. You know, I'm just being honest with you. But I love people more. I love people more. But liking, that's different. I really like my dog Gilby more than most people. You know, anybody else have a dog know what I'm talking about? Now, somebody's going to walk out offended. Pastor Peggy likes her dog more than me. No, I love you more. I love you more than I love Gilby. A little bit. No, I do. But, you know, one time I was at lunch with some pastors, you know, spiritual people. And they were talking, and there was a big thing about polar bears. You know, the polar bears need help, right? Now, I don't preach this stuff. You know, it's just my own personal conviction. And so this lady that was there, she was getting all bent out of shape because people were giving money to help polar bears. And she was just so mad that people were giving money to help polar bears. Because she said, they should give that money to the gospel. And I'm sitting there and I thought, you know, I agree you give to the gospel. And so everybody's talking, and then finally I just, you know, every once in a while I'll speak up and I said, don't you think there's enough money to do both? I said, don't you think there's enough money to do both? Can't we spend money to preach the gospel and help the polar bears? I said, I think there's enough money in the world to do both. Silence at the table. They looked at me like I wasn't even saved. I mean, I'm just for real. I mean, they just looked at me like, and you're a pastor? I mean, that was what they were thinking. I could tell because they were looking at me like. But you know what? That's the truth. The enemy will always lie to you and say that there's not enough. The enemy is always going to say there's not enough to go around. Because when you think there's not enough to go around, what do you do with yours? You hoard it. There is enough money in the world just right now. You can Google this. There is enough money in the world right now for every single human being to be a multimillionaire. That is a true factual statement. Every human being. That's how much money is in the world. We just got to get the money out of the wrong hands into the liberal hands that will give for the gospel and the polar bears. Right? Because there's enough money to do both. Yep. There's enough money to do both. Don't ever let the enemy trick you into thinking there's not enough. There's always enough with God. There's always more than enough with God. Always, always. And so we can fall into both of these ditches where we're just spending it all on stuff that doesn't matter, or we can fall into a ditch where we're hoarding everything. And the Bible says, listen, neither one of those is a good idea, because if you put money above your principles, above who is important to you, if money is more important than God, you're serving mammon. That's what that verse means. It says you can't serve God and money. Can't do that. And so the Bible says here in Matthew 6:32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. and is talking about, you know, all this stuff. He says, but your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody say things.
Things.
How many like things?
Yes.
It's okay to say you like things in church. How many like things?
Yes.
How many like sparkly things?
Yes.
How many like fast things?
Yes.
How many like things with lots of gigabytes and all that kind of stuff, right? How many like things with screens? You know, you like, it's okay to like things. But God says, listen, if you put things before God, it does not work. He says, because that's how the pagans do it. He says, the Gentiles, at this time, these are the people that didn't know God. He said, listen, that's what they do. They seek things first. So nowhere does God say things are not okay. But he says, God will give you those things, those desires of your heart. And I know some religious people in here, your head is spinning. But I'm preaching the word. I'm not preaching religion. I'm not preaching poverty, which is just a religious thing. I'm not preaching that. You know, it's so crazy. I'm not even going to go there. All right, I'll go there. It is crazy to me that even now, okay, now listen, if I never see you again, I love you and I care about you. All right? That's just the truth. If I never see you again, I love you and I care about you. It amazes me that the Catholic Church, God bless them, God bless them, but they require their priests to take a vow of poverty, their nuns to make a vow of poverty, but they are one of the richest institutions in the world. Isn't that incredible? Now listen, now I'm going to give it to the Catholics because the Catholic Church helps a lot of people. I mean, man, they serve the poor, they do a lot of stuff, but they also got a whole lot of money. And that's a good thing. But the thing is, they're just a little off balance. Because why do I need to take a vow of poverty? Why do I need to be poor? Why do people have a hard time if a pastor has nice things when I want you to have nice things and God wants you to have nice things and God wants me to have nice things?
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. It says, listen, it's okay to have these things, but don't be like the pagans.
That's it.
Because the pagans seek the things first. Don't be like the pagans, where the pagans, the things, are more important than God. Let's not be like that. Paul says, the Bible says, don't be like that. Matthew's talking here. He says, it's not a matter of money. God, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, they have a problem when we take up an offering and they're going to put $5 in it. Listen, that's why we say here at BBC, and we mean it, if you don't want to give, don't. Because if you're going to get yourself all in a twist over the $5 you're going to put in the offering, keep it. Keep it. Because it isn't about your money. It's about your priority. That's what it's about. It isn't about money. And people that have a hard time, and listen, I know that there are ministries and ministers who do crazy stuff with money. That has always been. Judas did crazy stuff for money and with money. And he was with Jesus. Money, that's why we're talking about money today. Because money will get you into trouble that you do not want to be in. Money will cause you to do stuff that you never thought you'd do before. Money will cause you to take what is important to you and suddenly it's on the back burner for money. I can't tell you how many times I have seen people move when they knew it wasn't God's will because of a job that offered more money. And you know what happens? I've seen it. If they don't wise up and come back, divorce, their kids are crazy, and they're like, man, what happened? You followed money instead of God. That's what happened. It's not about your money. It's about your priority. God says, listen, it's okay that you have things. He wants you to have things. And if you got a hard time with that, you need to read the Bible. Because the Bible teaches that God wants you blessed. He wants you blessed. He wants you to be blessed, to be a blessing. But he wants you blessed. He wants people to look at your life and say, man, they serve a good God. right? That's what God wants. And so it's never about the money. It's about the priority. And so the thing is that it's not about money, it's about priority. Your heart, which when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the focus of your life, where your focus. And the Bible says your heart, the focus of your life, follows your treasure. And in Matthew 6:21 it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You can tell who treasures God. You're generous. Because you know that there's enough. You know there's always going to be enough because you serve a God who the Bible says that all the silver and gold belongs to Him. He is your priority. So you don't seek things first, you seek God first. You get it? All right, let's keep going. It's possible to recover from a lot of disasters in your life. It's possible to recover from financial disasters. It's possible to recover if we've gone off the cliff when it comes to giving. It's possible to recover. All we got to do is get back on track, to get good teaching. Sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I think I've heard some stuff in growing up in religion or in church here or there or from Aunt Mabel or Grandma. I've heard some stuff that, you know, lately I've heard it doesn't seem like it goes with the Bible. And sometimes you just got to do a reset. You just got to step back and say, I'm going to relearn some things. And, you know, a lot of times what we need to do is relearn what the Bible has to say about money so that we're not in confusion, we're not in religion, we're not in bitterness, and we're not poor. God doesn't want you poor. And so He has instituted a plan for your finances for you to be blessed. He says if you seek Him first, everything else will take care of itself. But you got to seek Him first. God's not against you having stuff. God wants you to have stuff. He wants you to have stuff and He wants you to give stuff away. Because see, when you realize how much there is, you got no problem giving what you got. Because you know, it's always going to come back. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, what happens? It comes back. I can sow it. And when the Bible talks about sowing, it means giving. I can sow it. And when I sow something, it's like the Bible calls it a seed. And what happens when you plant a seed? Something grows. Something grows. So if you've got nothing growing in your finances, it might be because you don't have any seeds planted. I firmly believe that the Bible teaches tithing. I am a tither. This church in itself is a tither because we believe in the principle of tithing. We believe that it is an Old Testament covenant and it is also a New Testament covenant. It is in both. Don't believe the lie that says it has passed away. It has not. The principle of tithing is alive and well. We are walking in it. Amen? There are many of us in here who are walking in it. And tithing is this, very simply, that I give the first, say first.
First.
The first 10% because tithe means 10. That's what the word means. It means 10. If somebody says, oh, that tithe, I hate the tithe. What you're saying is, oh, that 10. I hate the 10. Do you like all 10s or just the 10 in church? You know, let's clarify. Because tithe just means 10. That's all it means is 10. It's a number. And so tithing is just giving 10. I give $1 out of every 10 that I make, I give to the Lord. I don't really give it to Him. I return it to Him because the Bible says it belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. And then I give a little bit more because that's my offering. Because the Bible says when I give, I can only give what belongs to me. That's my offering. That's a little bit more. Now some of you are like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a lot of money. Listen, what do we say here? If you don't want to do it, don't do it. We still love you. We treat you the same. We don't make you wear a little badge that says non-tither. You know? Non-tither. You know, I don't say, well, wait a minute, let me check. All right, I'll talk to you. I don't do that. Why? Because it's a person, it's you, it's what you do. But as a church, we care for everybody. Whether you give, whether you don't give, we care for you. But I tell you, the power, if you want the power in your money, if you want to have those guardrails set up in your money, then you do it the way God says to do it. It's gonna help you avoid the pitfalls that people fall into, especially in our society. We live in a consumer society. And here's what greed does. Greed says, if it comes to me, then it's for me. Isn't that good? That's a greedy attitude. If it comes to me, then it's for me. But I don't want to be greedy, because the Bible has, I could spend all day talking about greed this morning. The Bible has a lot to say about greediness. Greediness is like an opposite of godliness. If it comes to me, then sure, some of it's probably for me, but if it comes to me, God wants to get it through me. Amen? God wants to get it to me, to get it through me, so that I can give and be like God. God's a giver, and that's why God talks. You know that Jesus talked more about money than anything else? You can look it up. Yeah. Go ahead, Google me. Fact check me. It's the truth. You know why? Because money is one of the most important things in our life. How many and people say, oh, money's not important to me. You ever hear anybody say that? And they say it like they're just like such a huge person because they're saying that. Money's not important to me. Well, let me have all yours then. Let's see how, you know, if it's really not important to you, let me have all yours. Because it's important to me. You know why it's important to me? Because money helps spread the gospel. That's why it's important to me. You know why it's important to me? Because I got a light bill to pay, just like you. Money is important to us. And God knows that money is important to us, so he talks a lot about it. And he says, listen, here's how you handle your money. You handle your money like this, you're never going to have a problem. How many never want to have a money problem? Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Handle your money God's way, and you never will. That's how it works. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just pray for every person here that you would just help us all to grab a hold of what you say about money. And Lord, I know it's hard for some people to hear money in church, but yet if we're honest about it, money is one of the things that really we think about the most, we worry about the most, we talk about the most, because it's important. And so Lord, we know that if it's important to us, it's important to you. And you've given us guidelines and you've given us help on how to handle our money. And so we just pray that for anybody in here today that just needs to be taught the godly principles of money, that, Lord, you would help them to find good teaching and to help replace lies that the enemy has told them. Maybe that you want them poor or you don't want them to have stuff or anything like that. That you would just help them replace those lies with the truth of your word. And that is that you want every one of your children to be blessed. You want every one of your children to have enough. You want every one of your children to be able to give, your word says, on every good occasion. And Lord, we just want to cast out any wrong thinking we have about money, and we want to replace it with right thinking, right from your word. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that is compromising because of money, oh, help them see they need a guardrail so that they don't wind up in destruction. For all the pain and the arguments and the hardship that have come from wrong money decisions, Lord, we just ask for your help in healing those hurts and that pain that we've experienced. We thank you, Lord, that you are a good God who loves us so much, and that your plan is for us to, number one, be born again, to have all of our sins forgiven, to have our life redeemed and filled with power, and to know that we're on our way to heaven. That is your number one plan for us. And if you're here today with every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute, just out of respect for people, I ask you to do that. If you're here today and you say, man, I like what you said about God, what do I do next? The very first thing we need to do when it comes to a relationship with God, the thing that matters more than anything else, the starting place with God, is always with Jesus. To receive the free gift of salvation that he has made for you. And what that means is that we just say it's not difficult. People make things hard. God makes things easy. It's where we just open up our heart, the focus of our life, and say, Lord, I want to give you all of me, all of my hurt, my pain, my hang-ups, my past, my future. I want to give all of it to you. And in return, I want to receive forgiveness. I want a fresh start with life. I want to be made new. And I want to have the power to live life on this earth with victory. And I want to know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm not on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven to spend eternity with you when I die. That's what being saved means. It says, Lord, I want to give you all of me for all of you. So if you're here today with nobody looking around and you say, Peggy, that's what I want to do. I want to give God all of me. I realize I don't have time to clean up and straighten up, and I don't have the power to anyway. That's okay. You come to God just like you are, and he meets you right where you are. So if you're here today and you want to experience a love like no one can give you, a high like no drug can give, a security that no amount of money can pay for, his name is Jesus. If you're here today and you want to receive Jesus, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I need Jesus. I see your hands. Anybody else? I need Jesus. I'm tired of living life on my own, empty and broken. I need somebody to fill me from the inside out. I need Jesus. Anybody else? For the sake of the ones who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together. Let's remind the people who raised their hand that they are never alone again. They are now in the family of God. And we can do that by saying this prayer with them loud and saying, hey, I'm with you. So let's say it all together. Say, Father God, I come to you today to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He rose again. All for me. So I can be forgiven, empowered, and on my way to heaven. I receive that. I am born again. I am brand new. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God makes things easy. God does the hard part for us. Aren't you glad about that? We got to do the easy part. We just say, Lord, I need you. Here's what we're going to do. Now, after service, for you guys who raise your hand, I want you to come down. We're not going to embarrass you. I don't like to embarrass people in any way. We just want to say, hey, welcome to the family. Put some info in your hand and get you on the right path and say, hey, we're here with you. You don't do this alone. You do it with family, right? And so we're going to receive our offering. Who's ready for that?